Profits are better than wages. Wages make you a living. Profits make you a fortune. We can teach kids profits. I teach kids enterprise, all kinds. I teach kids how to have two bicycles, one to ride and one to rent. I mean, you know, it doesn't take long to get into business if you're halfway bright. And I teach them the philosophy, the difference between communism and capitalism. Teenagers, all teenagers ought to appreciate the difference between communism and capitalism. For the last 75 years, communism taught capital belongs in the hands of the state, not in the hands of the people. For all these years, we've taught what? Ridiculous. Capital belongs in the hands of the people, not in the hands of the state. Communism taught, no. Individual people are too dumb and stupid to know what to do with capital. So you've got to take capital away from all the dumb, stupid people and give it to the all-wise, all-knowing state. And let the state run everything, and let the dumb, stupid people show up for their work assignment. That was communism. No wonder they devastated everything they touched. But finally, the walls came tumbling down. Communism taught, all glory to the state, the individual doesn't matter. We've taught all these years what? It's the individual that matters. Let the state be the servant of the individuals, not the individuals the servant of the state. What a difference in what? Philosophy. The power that's made America great, what it is today, is money in the hands of the kids, the people. That's where it is. So, all glory to the people. Let the state be the servant. In fact, we delight in calling them what? Public servants. Kids are so excited when they finally discover how many servants they got. Somebody to what? Stay awake while you sleep. So what? So you can sleep well. The Army doesn't sleep while you sleep. The Navy doesn't sleep. The Air Force doesn't sleep. How come they stay awake all night? So you can sleep all night. So you got to pay 7 pennies. Philosophy. Simple, basic, easy philosophy. And I'm telling you, it's easy stuff. Can't get any easier than that. A few simple things practiced every day. You can change your health and change your life. Okay. What should a child do with a dollar? I mean, it's fairly easy to figure out. If you just stop and think about it for a while, what should a child do with a dollar? I teach that. Part of it's on my new video I've got. In fact, part of my new video is for teenagers. What should a child do with a dollar? You won't believe the difference in philosophy. Here's one philosophy. It's only a child and it's only a dollar. What difference does it make? Wow, what a philosophy. It's only a child and it's only a dollar. Where do you suppose everything starts for the future? Here's where it starts. A child with a dollar. You say, well, they're only a child once, let them spend it all. Well, when would you hope that would stop? You say, well, wait till they're 50 and broke like me and then they'll change. No. Do you want them to wind up like you? And the answer is no. So we got to teach them a better philosophy. If a child wants to spend the whole dollar, with everything you've got, you got to persuade him not to spend it all. Kid says what? I earned it all. It's my dollar. I'm going to spend it all. Say, no, don't spend it all. They'll say what? Why not? So best way is to show them why not. Kids learn best by visual. Put them in your car, take them to the other side of town, and show them where people live that spend the whole dollar. I'm telling you, they'll get the message. Just drive them around and say, would you like to live here? Kid says, no. Would you like to live like these people live? Kid says, no way. Then you can't spend the whole dollar. I'm telling you, they'll get the message. So, take them to the other side of town. Unless you already live there, and then just show them around. This stuff's easy. Hey, it's too easy to figure out why people go broke, and it's too easy to figure out how people get rich. It's too easy. You don't need spooky voodoo. Just need truth. Just need the facts. By the way, I do believe in affirmation. I must correct that. I do believe in affirmation. Here's how. Only if you affirm the truth. Ancient phrase says what? The truth will set you free. Free to correct your old errors in philosophy, set up some new disciplines to change your life. That's what the truth is for. So I do believe in affirming the truth, of course. If you're broke, best thing to affirm is, I am broke. You put that up on the refrigerator where you can see it every day. Where your kids can see it. Now, if you need reaffirmation, you just add this. I'm 40 and broke. I mean, you know, that'll do it. If you need one more, here it is. I live in America and I'm 40 and broke. That'll be enough to change your life. All we need is some truth that says what? You've messed up. That's what my teacher said after 6 years. Mr. Owen, let's go over a few things. Found out what? I'd messed up. He said, but I'm not going to leave you there. Let me show you how to change the next 6 years totally from the last six, if you're interested. Some people aren't interested. They don't want to work this hard. They specialize in happy hour. Not interested in this stuff. But if you are interested, there's some ways to change. Just a few simple things if you do not neglect. Do not neglect. For your good health, there isn't 1,000 things. My father will be 90 his next birthday. He's been healthy all of his life. Mama taught us well. I passed the big 5-0 a few years back. I've never been ill. Mama taught us well. I got 2 daughters, 32 and 33. They've never been ill. 2 grandkids, all healthy. Mama taught us well. A few simple things practiced every day. I was with my father not long ago. We're getting ready about midnight to go to bed up on the farm. My father at midnight has what he calls, before he goes to bed, he has what he calls his midnight snack. A little bite to eat before you go to bed so you don't have to go to bed hungry. He likes that. And I'm watching my father eat this midnight snack. Guess what he's having? An apple and a few graham crackers. And a glass, I think, of grapefruit juice. I said, no wonder Papa's healthy. Mama taught us all that. An apple, what? Right? That's gotten to Southern California, right? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. I've got a good question for this intelligent audience. Here it is. What if that's true? You say, well, Mr. Rohn, if that's true, that would be easy to do. Then what is the problem? The problem is what? It's easy not to do. Or the guy messed up the saying. Guy says a Hershey bar a day. Say no. No. No, you've been watching too much television. It's not Hershey bar. And if you lack refinement in your philosophy and intelligence to fall for the Hershey bar and substitute it for an apple, I'm telling you, you've got to be satisfied with your own poor health. Cardiovascular disaster 6 years from now. I'm telling you, it's not outside. Outside is the wind that blows. Inside is your ability to set a sail if you're interested. Set such a sail that pretty soon you could care less about any wind that blows because you've got it figured out and you're on the road for ideas and information that'll change and refine your philosophy and give you the best chance to do well. That's it. The first piece of the 5 major pieces. And this stuff is easy. I'm telling you, it's easy. I got one more down here now. Here's number 3. Number 1, observe what's happening. Number 2, listen. Find voices of value and spend some time. Here's number 3, read all the books. I got no substitute for reading all the books. Mr. Schultz got me started on this discipline back when I was 25 years old. Started me on my library for success. I've now got one of the better libraries. If you were to walk in my library today, here's what you would say. This is the library of a serious student. That's what you would say. Now, when people walk in your library from now on, here's what I want them to be able to say. This is the library of a serious student. Schultz taught me to keep journals. Here's what he said. Good phrase to take home. Don't trust your memory. Bonnie talked about that this morning. Don't trust your memory. Jot it all down. I'm trying to get kids hooked like me. Be a buyer of empty books. Kids find it interesting. I'd buy an empty book with nothing in it. Especially at my station in life. What did I pay for this one? $26. Kids find that really interesting. I'd pay $26 for an empty book. Kids say, why would you do that? And I said, to prompt me to go searching and looking till I find something worth $26 to put in here. Now, all of my journals are private. But if you happen to get a hold of one of my journals, you would not look very far and read this stuff until you would say, hey, this is worth a lot more than $26. No wonder Mr. Owen's healthy. Look at his journals. No wonder he gets to travel around the world. Look at his library. No wonder she's a strong mother. Look at her journals. No wonder she's got the answers for her family. Look at her library. No wonder she's got it together. No wonder he's powerful. No wonder he's rich. Look at his journals. Look at his library. This is where it all starts. I'm asking you to do that. You got to read the books. You got to have a library. Now, I haven't read everything in my library, but I feel smarter just walking in it. At least I was smart enough to buy it all. Now I got to be smart enough, right, to follow through, make sure I get it read, study, practice, sort through it, make my own decisions on what's valuable, and go do it so that my enterprises for the future will take on more value, more structure, more equities. My health, my life, my future, my relationship with my family, all the rest will improve and change. I'm asking you, here's a key phrase, be a serious student. Develop your library. So it got me started. He said, have you got a Bible? I said, well, yes. He said, well, that's 66 books. I felt better about that. My parents made sure I was a pretty good scholar by the time I was 18. 66 books. Here's a couple of books Shelf recommended. One was called Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Napoleon wrote a classic. Think and Grow Rich. Shelf said, doesn't that title intrigue you, Mr. Rohn? I said, yes, sir. He said, wouldn't you have to get that book, Think and Grow Rich? I said, yes, sir. So I started looking for it. I found it in a used bookstore. It's where I had to start. I paid less than 50 cents for it. I've still got it. It's one of the rare hardback covers. Started me on the road to recovery. Some of the ideas in that book changed my life. Now, it's got some weird stuff in it. You know, Napoleon was part weird. So you've got to separate out some of the weird stuff. Okay. Unless you're weird, just do the weird stuff. Doesn't matter. Here's another book I use as a textbook to teach teenagers how to be rich by 40, 35 if you're extra bright. Part of it's going to be in my new book. A little book called The Richest Man in Babylon. The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. C-L-A-S-O-N. This little book helped me become a millionaire by the time I was 31. That's why I teach it to kids. As a textbook. Let me give you some key points about this little book. Richest Man in Babylon. Here they are for your notes. Number one, it's easy to find. I'm telling you, it's easy to find. The average bookstore's got it. If they haven't got it, guess what? They can get it for you. This little book is easy to find. Here's number two. It's easy to buy. I'm telling you, this stuff's easy. You don't need ocean waves and seagulls. This stuff's too easy. The most you can pay for this little book is about $5, $6, $7. Okay? You can borrow that from your kids. $5, $6, $7. And number three, you've already guessed what? It's easy to read. It's in story form. That's why I use it for teenagers, teaching wealth by 40, 35, if you're extra bright, much sooner, if you find a unique opportunity. You can read it in two or three evenings. If you get inspired, you could read it in one evening. Lord, I hope some out of this audience would get inspired, read it in one evening, because I want to listen to the future stories. But here's number four, and this will explain all I've been trying to talk to you about up until now. Here's point number four. It's easy not to look for this little book. Make sure you jot that down. That's this whole part of this first part of the seminar. It's easy not to look for this little book. Doesn't that explain everything? Yes. I've now lectured, and I think I've recommended this little book to all of them, over 3 million people in the last 33 years, formally, by satellite and by every other means. And I've recommended this little book. Guess how many have actually gone and found it? Answer, very few. Here's my best guess, about 10%. You say, well, Mr. Rohn, why wouldn't the other 90% go find this little book? Answer, we don't know. What do you know? You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Here's my best answer. My most profound philosophical phrase. Here it is. Some do and some don't. I mean, that's how profound this stuff is. About 10% do and about 90% couldn't be bothered. They're specializing in happy hour, but not the wisdom of the world, change their life, change their health, and change their future. But now here's my advice to you, and I came all the way from my home. Instead of spending a day with my family today, I came to spend it with you. To ask this of you. Personally, walk away from the 90%. Don't talk like they talk. Don't act like they act. Don't go where they go. Don't read what they read. Walk away from the 90% and join the 10% who go find this little book. I've recommended it to so many people over the last 33 years that have made fortunes. Fortunes. Some of them staggering fortunes once they read this little book. So join the 10%. Guess how many people have a library card in America? How much is a library card in your community? Free. Here's what free is. Easy. It doesn't get any easier than free. Somebody says, well, would you bring it by? Well, no, you've at least got to go get it. Here's how many people have a library card. Wisdom of the world available. Change any part of your life you want changed. Get all the information you could possibly use for a lifetime. 3%. 97% couldn't be bothered. They don't stop in the library. They drive by. Andrew Carnegie thought they were all going to stop in. That's why he built all those libraries all across America. No, they don't stop in. They drive by. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Walk away from the 97%. Don't use their vocabulary. Don't use their excuses. Don't use their method of drift and neglect. Won't even walk around the block for their health. Won't even eat an apple a day. Won't even take the time to refine their philosophy for a better life. Walk away and join the 3%. Guess how many people can retire from the income of their own personal resources when it comes time to retire? Answer, 5%. In America, 5% of the people are independent. 95% are dependent. Take charge of your own retirement. You can multiply it at least by 5. Let the government take care of it. Some company take care of it. You've got to divide by 5. I'm asking you, take charge of your own retirement. Take charge of your own life. It happens to be one of the titles of my own cassette program, Take Charge of Your Own Life. That's what we've talked about here all morning. Take charge of your own day. Don't have days like most people have. You'll wind up broken poor. Pennies, no treasures. Trinkets, no values. Change it all. And it starts as simple as an apple a day. It starts as simple as the first book of your new library. It starts as simple as the first journal that you get and make the first entry that when people see it will say, this is the beginning of a study of a serious student. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be powerful. They're going to be rich. They're going to have it all. Look, they've committed themselves to a whole new journey. I'm asking you to do that. But what's easy to do is what? Easy not to do. But walk away from the 90%. Walk away from the 97%. Walk away from the 95%. Don't go where they go. Don't do what they do. Don't talk like they talk. Develop you a whole new language. Be part of the few. Guess when I went and got this little book, Richest Man in Babylon? Guess when I went and got it? The same day I heard about it. I went and got it. Somebody says, well, Mr. Rohn, does that make you different than most everybody else? And the answer is yes. Somebody says, well, why is that? We don't know. What do we know? You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. All we know is some get the spark and say, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my health. I'm going to change my relationship with my family. I'm going to change everything. And if it starts with an apple, if it starts with a walk around the block, if it starts with a book, if it starts with a journal, whatever it starts with, I'm a candidate. I'm ready to go and change my life. I invite you on that journey. Once you look back on it, you will never turn back. You'll never go back to the old ways and the old language and the old neglect. Never. Cardiovascular problems in alone in America create over 1,000 funerals a day. And 70% of it is neglect. I'm asking you not to hope they're going to fix this out here next year so that you'll be healthier. I'm asking you to pick up some new disciplines so that you will be healthier. Drive yourself to do it. Book by book, entry by entry. It's all available. Now, let me tell you what to put in your library. Number one, your listening library. This gives me a chance for a little commercial here. Just a little commercial. Number one is your viewing library. Especially for kids sometimes. It's easier for them to watch than it is for them to listen or to read. So this is a good place to start. Video library, 4.5 hours, about 1,100 people, 3 cameras. It's nice. I'm really proud of it. Here's number two, your listening library. Turn your car into a mobile classroom. I've got a 2-day seminar that I do every once in a while. We'll do a couple probably next year. Then here's number three, your reading library. Now, I've only got 3 books, so my books don't make a library. But all I want them to do is to make a contribution. Because if you'd like to go through this stuff that we're covering today again, one of the best ways is by cassette. Maybe have the book to read. Books are mobile, portable. They can be sent somewhere. They can go somewhere. Read the books. You got to read the books. Here's a good phrase to take home. What you don't read won't help. The book you miss might cost you a fortune. You say, well, how much is it? Well, it isn't what it costs. It's what it costs if you don't have it. That's the big cost. So never begrudge the money you spend on your own personal education. Here's what Mr. Schultz taught me. Good phrase to take home. Formal education gets you a job. Self-education gets you rich. Formal education make you a living. Self-education, what? Make you a fortune. And that's what all the stuff I've got is for. Just take a look. Take home whatever will serve you well. Wonderful. Now, here's what else. Somebody says, Mr. Ona, I don't read well. Take this phrase home. You've got to change that. You can't go through with that kind of a handicap the rest of your life not being able to read well. There's too many classes you can take to speed up your reading. Get through more books. Retain more of what you do read. Do not limp along with a mental handicap of not being able to get through the books and get through the periodicals and get through the magazines and get through the stuff that can help to change your life. Never begrudge the money you spend on personal education, because that's where the miracle is. It's called the miracle of the mind. Incredible. Okay, now I've got to give you number two. I've spent enough time on number one. In fact, I got too carried away here. Philosophy. The first major piece of the 5 major pieces. Let me just start now on the second, and then we're going to take a little stretch break here. Everybody, it's okay? Say, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
All right. I like this crowd. I'll take you with me as my traveling crowd. How many have 3 pages of notes already? Wonderful. My gosh, you're working as hard as I am. I appreciate that. Appreciate it. Okay, the first major piece we talked about was philosophy. We're affected by what we know and the decisions we make. Here's the second major piece. Attitude. We're affected by how we feel. One's how what we know, 2 is how we feel. The emotional part. Now, for life change, we don't start with the emotional part. We don't start with motivation to change people's lives. I know some people say, well, Mr. Rome, by now I expected a lot of motivation here. We should be standing on the chairs waving flags. No. No, that won't do it. Somebody say, just motivate this guy. He'll be all right. Just turn him on, motivate him. Well, probably not. If a guy's an idiot, you motivate him. Now you got a motivated idiot. I'm telling you, it won't be all right. Key phrase for your notes. Life change does not start with inspiration. Life change does not start with inspiration. Life change starts with education. When I first met my teacher, he did not inspire me. Here was his first task when he first met me, to find out what was wrong. And the first part of his education was what? Simple. You have messed up. Pennies in your pocket after 6 years, something is wrong. Now, you don't have to change countries. And you don't have to wait for the next election. If you're willing to start doing something about it, you can change it all. So the first part of his education was what? You've messed up. But he didn't leave me there. He said, now, here's the second part of your education. How to change it all, if you're interested. Now, some people aren't interested. I understand that. But I would assume that most of them are not here. You shelled out your cash, time, and money to be here. I would assume you're interested. So you qualify. For those that are interested, I'm telling you, you can change the whole next 6 years of your life if you're interested. You can change your income. You can change your future. Why? Anybody that wants to can set a better sail, regardless of the wind that blows. So life change starts with education, not inspiration. But now it is important how we feel. The attitude part is important. Let me give you now the short list. Just before our stretch break, the short list on how you feel. There's a long list. In our leadership weekend, we get into it all. How you feel about the government, how you feel about taxes. She'll taught me well at age 25, taught me how to become a happy taxpayer. I used to say, I hate to pay my taxes. She'll said, well, that's one way to live. I thought, well, doesn't everybody? He said, no, a few of us have moved beyond that. I used to say, I hate to pay my bills. She'll said, you hate to reduce your liabilities and increase your assets? And I said, well, that's a different way of looking at it. He had me looking at things in a whole different manner. I used to say it costs too much. Shelf said, no, let's face the real problem, Mr. Owen. You can't afford it. I thought, whoa. I never looked at it like that. I always thought it was the problem. Shelf said, no, Mr. Owen, you are the problem. When I gave him that list of excuses why I hadn't done well, he looked them all over and said, Mr. Owen, big problem with this list. You ain't on it. Come on, let's get you on the list now. Set a better sail. Don't keep wishing for a better wind. Maybe the Republicans next time. Don't postpone your life like that. Get you some new books. Get you some new information. Start listening to the cassettes, watching A Voice of Value, and see if you can't pick up some ideas to start the change immediately. And the next 6 years could work a miracle for you like it did for me that 6 years. Okay, but attitude is important. Now, here's the short list on how you feel. Number one, it's how you feel about the past. You've got to have a good, healthy attitude about the past. And here's the best advice I can give you on that. Treat the past as a school. Let it teach you. Maybe a harsh school, tough school. What else is new? We've all been through some tough stuff. Some tougher than others. I understand that. But here's what I want you to use the past for. A schoolmaster. A schooling. Don't let the past beat you, carry it around like a burden. Don't let the past become a club, beat yourself over the head with past mistakes, past faults, past failures. Shove said to me, what? The last 6 years, Mr. Owen, you've messed up. Now let's use that as a school to teach us how to turn it all around. So that's the attitude about the past. Reach into the past for what? Experience. One of the miracles humans can perform. Dogs can't do it, alligators can't do it, spiders can't do it, but humans can. Reach into the past for something valuable called experience. Now here's number two. It's how you feel about the future. The future's called the promise. Here's what we learn in Leadership Weekend. The promise of the future is an awesome force. That's why I reach into the future. Try to perform that miracle to help kids see what? The promise. To help kids see the promise, using the best words I can, the best part of my heart and soul I possibly can, to get them to see it's possible to become financially independent and healthy and powerful and unique, sophisticated and cultured and refined, influential. What a promise. We've got to get better, parents, at helping our kids see the promise of the future. And here's why. For every promise, there's a price. You've got to add that note. For every promise, there's a price. To pay. But here's what's exciting. If the promise is clear, the price is easy. But if the promise is not clear, the price is usually too difficult. If we can get our kids to see, I'm telling you, they will pay. They will pay the discipline. They'll go find this little book. If they can see. But here's the challenge. If kids can't see the future, they don't want to pay. If you can't see good health, you're not going to go for an apple. If you can't see a better future, you won't go for a walk around the block. If you can't see a better future, you won't take the time to build a library and fortify your life with good ideas and things of value. So here's one of the challenges for all of us, a well-designed future. Let's help our kids understand the promise of the future. And they will pay. Kids will do the most extraordinary disciplines every day if they can see. If they can see. If they can see. So here's another miracle humans can perform. The ability to reach into the future for inspiration. Why? A promise well designed, well defined. Health and power and influence and uniqueness and sophistication and culture and the good life, good taste. Now here's number three. On attitude. It's how you feel about everybody. We've got to have a good feeling about everybody. Here's one of the major reasons why. You can't succeed by yourself. It's hard to find a rich hermit. I mean, you can't succeed by yourself. We all, what? Need each other. Key phrase to take home. Each of us need all of us. One person doesn't make a market. One person doesn't make a country. One person doesn't make a symphony orchestra, music that will make the spirit soar. One person doesn't make a family. One person doesn't make a community. One person doesn't make an economy. Give us a chance for riches and wealth for all of us. But here's what's exciting. Each of us have available, all of us, to make a contribution to each of us so that each of us can become as wealthy as we want and as healthy as we want because we've got all these ideas that have been brought here from all the rest of the countries of the world. No country in existence for the last 6,500 years has had so many gifts brought in a 200-year period like America the last 200 years. People have come from where? All over the world. They've brought their gifts to America. The gift of language. And the gift of politics, and the gift of the Constitution, and the gift of liberty and freedom, and the gift of religious liberty, and the gift of the freedom of the press, and the gift of language, the gift of the diversity of ethnic streams have flowed into America, unprecedented in the last 6,500 years. There's been nothing like it in history. So much brought from all the other countries and deposited in one country called America. There's been nothing like it. It's called the miracle of America. The gift of medicine, the gift of inventions, the gift of uniqueness, all of the stuff that's been brought here, and what? All of the stuff that's been brought here is available to each of us. To each of us. And if you've got some warped attitude about all that, I'm telling you, you'll miss it all. You'll have to wind up with ashes. You'll have to wind up with trinkets. You'll have to wind up with pennies. What I'm asking you to do is learn to appreciate all that's been brought here and reach out and touch it. Somebody spent a lifetime from some other country writing a book, and the guy won't even pick up a free library card and go get it and check it out and let it affect his life. Gifts brought here that you ignore. Gifts brought here that you say, ho-hum, when's the next happy hour? I'm telling you, it'll leave you in the dust and the shadows. Learn to appreciate all that's been brought to us. Gifts brought to America, unprecedented. And your attitude about that goes a long way in helping to change your life and your life structure. Now here's the last one. It's how you feel about yourself. Understanding self-worth. That is the real challenge. Once you begin to understand your own self-worth, I'm telling you, your life will begin to soar. You can walk out of the darkness into the light. You can walk out of heartbreak into confidence. Understanding your own self-worth. Here's a good phrase to take home. Each of us must understand how valuable all of us are. But here's the second part. All of us must understand how valuable each of us are. Is your contribution valuable to the whole? I'm telling you, without you, the whole is incomplete. I'm telling you, it takes each of us to make all of us. Each of us with a contribution. Think how powerful we can be if each of us make a better contribution. In fact, John Kennedy said it best. Surely it's the cry of the new Democratic Party. John Kennedy's ancient words. And he said what? Ask for everything and see what you wind up with. No. 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 John Kennedy said what? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what? What you can do for your country. I'm asking you to consider yourself valuable enough to make an important contribution to all of us. You make an important contribution to all of us. And then in return, you get to draw from all of us and the gifts that we bring to each of us. That is the power. And if you walk away from here today with that new refined attitude, I'm telling you, you can have whatever you want. You can have the health you want. You can have the income you want. You can have the future you want. Your relationship with your family will start to improve immediately. All you got to do is take it serious and do not neglect. Like an apple a day, do not neglect. Like a new book of your new library, do not neglect. An entry in your journal, do not neglect. Don't get lazy in learning. Learning is the beginning of wealth. Learning is the beginning of health. Learning is the beginning of ecstasy and joy and pleasure and lifestyle and all the treasures that are available for the human family. I'm asking you, start a whole new process today. You'll be happy that you did. Your life will change dramatically. And then what I want back, just as a favor from you to me, let me know about it. I like to get the letters. You cannot believe the letters I've got in my files from teenagers and business executives now all over the world. Some of them have to be translated from other languages where I go do seminars like this today. I want that to be part of your story and your experience. That's why I came by to make this kind of an investment. I don't need to work this hard except for that. I could be riding my motorcycle on the Jeep trails today. Right? I don't need to work this hard, but I do need the experience because I want the return. I want this to affect your bank account today. I'm asking you not just to take notes. If you'll go home and work on this stuff, I'm telling you it'll change your life and your future, and that's why I'm here. I want it to happen for you like it happened for me. All right, let's just finish up number two on attitude. What shapes our attitude? Let's cover those notes. What shapes our attitude? Okay, we covered, right, how you feel about the past, the future, how you feel about everybody, and how you feel about yourself. Here's what shapes our attitude. Number one, education. Emotions must go to school to learn their value and how to work for you instead of against you in the marketplace, at home, social, community, whatever. Because emotions for the future will either embarrass you or support you. And a great deal of it depends on how well educated your emotions are. It's okay to throw yourself on the floor and kick and scream when you're 3. But not 33. Right? At 33, we expect you to have your emotions so well educated that now they serve you instead of embarrass you. Okay. So, now here's number two. Attitude is greatly shaped by influence and association. A good phrase my teacher gave me age 25. Here's what he said. Never mistake the power of influence. Two words describe influence. Number one, powerful. Number two, subtle. Influences sometimes can be very subtle. We wouldn't let somebody probably drive us off course, but we might let somebody nudge us off course. Right? Got their elbow on our back, just pushing a little, just pushing a little, just pushing a little. First thing you know, you find yourself way off track. Now, somebody might ask, how'd you get way over here? I said, gosh, I don't know. I said, well, didn't you feel that elbow? I said, well, yes, I felt that, but I didn't think that much about it. That was it. That was it. Just pushing a little every day, pushing a little. So you've got to really take a look at influence and association. Number one was emotions need to be educated. Number two, attitude is affected by influence and association. For people seriously interested in leadership, and parenting being one of the greatest challenges of leadership, we ask these three important questions. And I think this is good for serious people interested in influence, leadership, management, parenting. We go through these three questions. Let me give you those three. Three important questions on association. Here's number one. Who am I around? Every once in a while, you got to sit down and just make a list. Here's the people I'm around a fair share of the time. Who am I around? Question number two. What are they doing to me? That's a valid question. Where have they got me going? The people I'm around. What have they got me saying? How have they got me talking? What vocabulary have they got me using? What have they got me reading? Where have they got me going? And here's the biggest one of all. What have they got me becoming? The people I'm around. Good questions. And then here's question number three. Is that okay? Just take each person and their influence and say, is that okay? I'm not saying it isn't okay who you're around and what they're doing to you. I'm not saying that isn't okay. I'm saying check. Over a period of 5 or 6 years, this stuff is subtle and you can find yourself off course. Health, personal, business, family, enterprise, relationship, corporation, doesn't matter. Influence is powerful and subtle. Who am I around? What are they doing to me? And is that okay? Now, here's the answer to association. For those that are interested in the mature approach to life, to develop the power and the influence, here's number one, disassociate. I mean, after you evaluate some associations, you might have to come to this conclusion, disassociate. I'm not saying do it quickly, I'm not saying do it lightly, but I'm saying if it comes down to it and you have to, consider this, disassociate, walk away. Nancy was right. Just say no. I mean, she's right. Put some distance. That's what no does. Put some distance between you and the wrong influence. Now, if you have to be polite, say no thank you. If you don't have to be polite, just say no. Now, I know a lot of people these days are into yes, right? Big word, yes. You got to say yes, but you got to say no. If you don't say no, I'm telling you, it'll mess up your health, mess up your future, mess up your chance for enterprise, profits, equity. Got to learn to say no, especially to the wrong influence, wrong association. So that's the first one, disassociate. Here's number two, limited association. We've all got to be around a variety of people on a business day, social day, school day. We all have to. But here's the clue. Some people you can be around a few minutes, but not a few hours. Okay? Some people you can be around a few hours, but not a few days. So, you refine a study of your own association and influence and ask yourself, how much time would be beneficial and after that would not? Limited association. Here's number three, expanded association. Find people of value and see if you can spend more time. Part of it might be seminars like this. Or attend church more often, whatever. Get around people that have got something of value to share with you and see if you can get more time. And let the better influence help shape your attitude and your future. Some influence has to come maybe by book, by cassette. That's why we put this stuff on cassettes and books and videos. To let the association and the influence carry on after the live seminar has long since finished. So that the work may not be finished and it can go on by other means. People have long since been deceased. If they left a book, if they left a cassette, if they left some writings, if they left something behind that you could read or study or look at, how valuable that would be. Okay, that kind of influence. Okay, that's what shapes our attitude. So now we've covered the first two pieces of the five major pieces. Number one was philosophy. We're affected by what we know. Number two was attitude. Here's number three. Everybody that's ready for number three, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Number three is activity. We're affected by what we do. One is what we know. Two is how we feel. Three is what we do. Activity. This activity now is the work part. This is the labor part. In a unique experience, we refer to it as labor pains. I'm short on personal experience here, but the mothers in the room would tell us what? It's a unique experience. Now, why would a potential mother be willing to put herself through what she knows is ultimately going to be a rather painful experience? Why would she be willing to go through that? Simple answer. It's finally the only way to create new life. And above all notes you make today, make that one. New life only comes from labor. Labor. This is the miracle part. Labor produces life. Sure, it might be painful, but we've got a new phrase these days. It says what? No pain, what? No gain. The gain is the commodity, the new life, the new value, the new treasure, the new strength, the new muscle, the new whatever, the new bank account. But I'm telling you, it will not happen unless you put your better philosophy and your attitude into an activity program, a labor program, a work program. Without this, you've got no new miracle for your life. Key to my whole lecture for the day. This is it. This is the miracle piece. In fact, in the Bible, now I'm an amateur on the Bible, but in the Bible there's a book called The Book of the Activities. It's an extraordinary book. In fact, on everybody's best list, no matter what scholar puts the list together of the best writings ever written, this book always appears. Whether they're a believer in Christianity or not, every scholar puts this book on their list of the best writings ever written in the last 6,500 years. Interestingly enough, Old Testament always appears on everybody's list, no matter who puts it together. New Testament always appears. And this book out of New Testament always appears on everybody's list of the best writings ever written. And the reason is because it's one of the most extraordinary pieces of writing that's ever been written in 6,000 years. The Book of the Activities is a chronological, detailed description of the labor and the activities of the early Christians and the early Christian leaders in great detail. And when you finish reading this extraordinary book, here's what you will say. No wonder. That's what you will say when you finish this book. You will say, no wonder Christianity has lasted for 2,000 years and has become such a powerful influence in the world. Now, whether you're a believer or non-believer, we're just dealing with facts here. When you finish the book, you'll have the secret to the answer. No wonder it's so powerful, so influential, has lasted for 2,000 years. No wonder, look what they did. Now, you've got to jot that word down. Look what they did. That's the secret to the miracle process. Now, someone might argue with me and say, no, no, Mr. Owen, the secret to the miracle process of Christianity was, look what they said. Well, I know what they said was important. That was the philosophy. What they said was the philosophy. But the philosophy would not have worked the miracle that it would have lasted 2,000 years. So let me give it to you in a little philosophical phrase. Here it is. Wisdom. Wisdom uninvested in labor is wasted and works no miracle. Someone else may say, no, Mr. Owen, the miracle of Christianity was look how strong they felt. Look at the faith they had. Look at the courage they had. Strong feelings, emotions, power. I know that. But let me give you another phrase. Here it is. Faith uninvested in labor is wasted. There is no miracle without the labor part. That's why some people trying to become successful with, you know, subliminal affirmations, it's too silly. Even multi-track. Bombard preconscious subconscious. I'm telling you, that's not where it's at. I got a good phrase for you to take home. Affirmation without discipline is the beginning of delusion. Unless you put a good idea now into labor, it works no miracle. But if you put wisdom and faith into labor, activity, now, the chances to work a miracle are absolutely profound. Now, the labor part comes in two parts. Let me give you that. Here's number one. Do what you can. Just don't neglect to do what you can. If you should eat an apple a day, and you could eat an apple a day, and you don't, that's called formula for disaster. Cardiovascular problems and all other kind of problems. Should, could, don't, that's formula for disaster. Now, you've got to come up with your own shoulds. Don't let me dictate your shoulds. But if you say, I should, and I could, but I don't, then I'm telling you, you're on the wrong track. 6 years from now, you'll be driving what you don't want to drive, living where you don't want to live. Don't have the health you want, don't have the treasures you want, empty purse, empty heart. You cannot let yourself fall into that kind of a disastrous formula, should, could, won't. It's disaster. So here's number one to perform a new miracle for your life. Number one, do what you can. If you can walk around the block, do it. If you can eat an apple a day, do it. If you can develop better health practices, do it. If you can get a book, get it. If you can read, what?
Read it.
Read. If you can change, change. If you can take some notes, take some notes. If you can learn, learn. If you can go, go. If you can do it, do it. Don't leave the littlest things undone. It's called heading down the wrong road. You say, well, can you turn your life around with something as simple as an apple a day? Yes, where else would you start? Are you going to wait for some flash of revelation to come out of the sky? I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. It starts with an apple. And if you don't start there, then you've got to put up with your own lack at the end of another 6, 8, 10 years. And that's something nobody else can fix except you. Democrats can't fix it. Nobody else can fix it. The authors of the world can't fix it. The wise people of the world can't fix it. It's only something you can fix by putting up your own sail, refining your own sail so that you could care less about the wind that blows. And that's why we've gone through all of this. Now, the miracle is performed by two things. Number one, do what you can. That's all life asks us to do, is just do whatever you can and don't neglect it. It'll start a miracle.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next CD. We'll be right back.